Muser, 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 Muser. Gordon.
Yeah.
Who's back?
That's what I'm talking about.
Gordon Keith.
The superstar himself.
Shoot.
Jeez. Man, this is the first time that I've seen you out in the wild twice in like a 2 week span.
What
That's
do you mean?
Never happened.
What are you talking about?
You following him around?
No. We've just been in the same place.
We went to a comedy show together.
Went to a comedy show, and then we went to the dinner to support At Last. I saw you out in the wild.
That's right.
Man. Yeah.
Yes, you did.
So twice out in the wild, I saw one Gordon Keith. We had a fancy dinner, and then we went to a comedy show. As a matter of fact, Gordon was just a teensy beansy late to the show. And instead of asking the people
in our row
to excuse me, he went to the row behind us and then climbed over the row to get to his seat.
I did.
He didn't realize it was me until he sat down. I was like, you know, you could have just said, excuse me. And then he hey, what's going on, man? How you doing?
He didn't have him turn the house lights
on. Like too many people.
Stop the show while I get to my seat.
Excuse me.
But there were only four people in your way. And I feel like if you have an aisle seat, you do have the responsibility to know that there are going to be people that will need to get in or get out of their seat, and you should be okay with it. That's what you sign up for.
Yeah, but there was four people versus only two people I had to inconvenience on the row behind.
But then now you have the uncomfortable thing of climbing over a row to get your seat.
It was a little uncomfortable because once I stepped foot in my seat, because I had to, you know, lean over, fold my seat bottom down, and then stand in that, I realized that the whole thing was articulated, and so it was so wobbly trying to get down into that seat.
It was
shaky.
It was an adventure, and I had the hand kind of on the back, and you didn't know it because you didn't know you were sitting next to me.
I just knew
there
was a man groping me right now.
I was just trying to make sure that you did not
taking his chance
fall down, because it was very, very wobbly. It was so uncomfortable.
Yeah, it was
when you could have just said, excuse me.
I know.
And three shakes and you're right there at your seat.
I think I would have done the same thing. I don't want to make anybody have to move. I'll just step over.
They're not moving. They're
me.
Just standing up or just letting you through.
Yeah,
it's uncomfortable because everyone is seated and there is a show going on on stage. So to make four people stand up just felt...
It's too much.
Yes, it was too much. It was too much. I was trying to choose the path of least amount of inconvenience. And I probably chose wrong.
So to make the two people behind you do the exact same thing you could have done without the step over.
Half the number of people, though.
But the step over, I think, excludes everything. All of your advantages gone with the uncomfortable step over to get to your row.
I didn't know it would be a shaky step over.
It was really shaky.
And it was very shaky.
You have to put that in your math somewhere, but it's hard to know that going in.
Right.
Is a thing.
Man, I don't know. You guys have got to get past the whole I don't want to talk to other people type of deal.
It's not that. It's that it was inconveniencing other people. It's not because I don't want to talk to those.
No, I'm not saying it like that, but you guys are, I feel at times, a little bit awkward in social settings when it's not just like work-related. Work-related, you're fine. But then when it's, hey, excuse me, you know, my seat's right there, excuse me. That's all, and no one's going to...
People do that. Yeah. People do grump. Yeah, they do grump. They do.
They're on the aisle. There's nothing you can do about that.
Yeah, you can just walk around, step over.
So you didn't care about the two people behind you.
I did care about
them. You cared more about the four people on your row.
I did care about them. I was just trying to, it was a numbers game at that point.
You're doing the equations in your head.
Yes.
Like
and I felt bad. I was like 30 minutes late to the show.
And so the comedian points you out, but didn't care about Gordon stepping over the seats?
No,
that's not
he
the
didn't
same
get
show.
Pointed out.
No. That's a totally different show.
Different show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was Dances with Wolves.
Okay.
It totally won. Dances with Wolves. It's a, it was an interesting, dynamic sitting next to you at a comedy show.
Why?
Because I feel like that's something that you could do in the blink of an eye.
That's ridiculous.
I respect what they do up there. I love it. I've always fancied myself, man, I'm going to get the courage one day to get up there and do 4 or 5 minutes. And I would bomb and I would run off with my tail between my legs crying. I know that would happen, but you take that chance to do that. And I was just thinking the whole time, like, man, it's all about storytelling now. That's what comedy is, and you're a great storyteller.
Well, I have nothing but respect, same as you, for those guys who get up there and do stand-up comedy. Because it is an art, and it's about the scariest thing you can do, and I'm fascinated with it. I would like to do it at some point before I am done with my earthly existence.
Before you expire?
Before I expire, yeah.
Like a gallon of whole milk?
Because I so appreciate the fact that you can get on stage with just a microphone and entertain people without props, without being explosions and all that sort of thing, just with storytelling and with words.
Yep.
That's a magical experience.
I feel the same way every time I go. I love it. And just to see those guys just putting that together and where it feels like it's off the cuff and they're just doing this or that is so calculated. Mm-hmm. I think the really good ones, they know exactly the moves they need to make, and they can steer the people that they're even talking to into those situations. And that's what I always think about you, especially with wireless. Man, you grab the wheel with both hands, both feet.
That's a form
elbows,
of crowd work,
everything.
I guess.
Right. Just to get everything going.
But yeah, I was at the Majestic. It was a great evening. Of course, I love that theater. The Majestic's really cool. And Akash is a buddy of ours. He grew up listening to The Ticket, and he's, of course, becoming wildly successful as a stand-up comedian and podcaster. And, he was fantastic. He was great the first time I saw him several years ago.
Right.
He's gotten a lot better even since then.
I'm with you. You can see the growth of his act and him on stage, and what he does is really cool to see. When you catch someone kind of at the beginning of the career and then you see how they get better and their material and everything to, I don't want to say mature. That sounds kind of weird to say, but
Yeah, I struggle with that. When I texted him afterwards, I was like, I don't want this to sound, I didn't say this, trying to calculate how do I word this?
Yeah.
I want to pay him this compliment about how he's even better than the last time I saw him and how his act has grown. And I think that his skills have gotten even that much better with it not sounding like some slam on him before, you know?
I would think those guys have that, like, they're so dialed in to what they're doing that they would understand the difference between, like, you used to suck and now you're awesome, and like, wow, man, you're really improved. You would think.
I hope so. What about you? You ever wanted to do stand-up?
I did stand-up for a couple of months in college, and then I met this lady that ended up becoming my wife, and I just never really went back. It turns out girls are more interesting than comedy was.
Uh-huh.
And then now I'm here.
So. Did she like you doing stand-up? Did she come to see your show?
That's how I got her to go on a date with me, but no, I never did another show after I met her.
Wait, what do you mean that's how you got her to go on a date with you?
So, like, that was one of the things that I was selling her on, is like, hey, do a little stand-up comedy, do this, do that, but really it was the comedy thing, and I was like, oh, you should come to one of my shows. And
so she was really interested in you because of the fact that you were a stand-up comic.
Right, and then I just never went back.
What a bait and switch that was.
Hey, worked out. We're still together, I guess.
Huh.
There were two promises I made her when we first met. I would take her to one of my comedy shows. We never did that. And we would go dancing at Billy Bob's. We never did that either.
Man, you just lied to her time.
Yeah, never did that. And then I also told her I wasn't ready to go on a date yet because it was Valentine's Day. And then we first date was the 16th. So I really started our relationship off with a lot of lies.
That's very shaky.
A lot of lies.
There would be no way.
You built on a shaky foundation.
It's okay. We're reinforcing it every year.
Well, this is, you need to make good on the comedy show thing.
Okay.
Or at least the dancing and Billy Bob's, that's easy.
Yeah, no, I could pull that off, no doubt.
And you're probably a bad enough dancer where that could double as your stand-up routine.
You could just do it all in one night. In one night.
You sell tickets, people can watch you dance.
Right. And it might be too funny, to be honest with you. Some guy that can't dance, just doing moves. I don't know.
Do you remember some of your stand-up?
I had one joke. I was a larger child growing up, so I was pretty fat at the time. And I had a joke about I was walking with – it's not funny. I just want to put that out there before I tell the concept. It is not fun. Not that funny.
Okay.
Not that funny. And I was walking.
You don't say this on your in
no,
your act,
that's
though.
Not okay. That's not how right. I started it in the act. No.
You don't preface this by saying what I'm about to say is not.
Is
funny.
There a comedian out there that will say, "Hey man, this is not funny"? But
he's
let
known
me tell
as the
you.
Honest. It's Travis, asking, the honest comedian.
I'm asking for a pass here, just so you guys know. This is not going to be funny. Don't expect a laugh. No. So I had a bit about being a large guy and how people have expectations of the large guy. And one time I was walking with my friend Amanda, and I was carrying like a muffin or something, and I dropped it, and it landed on the ground. And being a large man, she turned to me, well, you going to get that? Because you're a fat guy, and you're going to eat it. Like I said, not funny.
Oh, that's okay.
Not funny.
So you got a set up, but you never got around to the. Was there was a punchline though at the time? Or you're saying that that was
it was a version of that.
Okay, I'm not doing that. I'm sorry. That's me.
Oh brother, this guy stinks.
Man, we don't need Gordon in the crowd for that. No. Man, don't ever tell Gordon.
I wonder why
joke.
I spent 2 minutes setting up. This is not funny.
What was the longest funny. That you? How long was your set? Your longest set. That
so
you ever
I did all my sets at the Backdoor Comedy Club, and they were like 3 to 4 minutes long, mm-hmm. and that's just what you had when you were signing up. By the end, like I was not the 100th person to go up. I was like the 75th, just because they knew my face. Again, not funny. Just they knew who I was, and I was a nice guy.
So I mean,
you gotta have
shows.
Tapes. You gotta have tapes of this.
There was one a long time ago. It was on Facebook. I doubt it's still there.
Wow.
Maybe it was MySpace. Okay. Could have been MySpace. All
how right. many total shows do you think you did?
Probably 12 to 15, something
okay.
like that.
Okay. The most experienced stand-up comedian
sure.
we have.
Don't say that
here at the station.
Don't say that after I just got swatted to half court.
No, Donnie, you've been up on stage telling
once.
Jokes
once
and. What was the experience like? Scared?
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Heck yeah. We were in San Antonio. It was me and Dan.
Mm-hmm.
I went second. They had a...
And Dan had had stand-up
yes,
comedy experience.
He had the experience. And then, to make matters worse, I had a certain thing that I had to talk about. So my comedy had to be about natural disasters.
Because it was a bet payoff kind
right,
of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
So when we walked in, the sign-up sheet had one field... 2 and 3 empty, 4 through 50 field. I don't know why they thought the second and the third spots were the worst ones. So walked in, so we can sign second and third, right? Yeah. So I went second, Dan went third. And the first guy got up there and did about 5 minutes. And all right, here we go. They just usher you up and down.
Mm-hmm.
I was up there for about 3 minutes, and it's the most nervous I've been.
I'm sure we've got that audio still, don't we?
Yeah, the first time we played it back, it was they forgot a beep.
Oh, no.
Because I did use a couple of bad words in my
did act. You use racial language at all?
No, I okay. did not. All no, right. It's just one of the big ones.
That was one of the rules they gave us was no language.
Can I say the N-word?
When did I say that?
I don't think you asked
that's
me
you,
that.
Get
so.
Creighton that's off you the board. Holding the clipboard for the sign-up sheet,
so
asking the person.
A couple of
so
questions.
So when
you
say,
language,
no, you can't, and
where
then
are we
Travis
that?
Just scratched off his name,
all right.
So that's all right.
Can't do that, Joe.
I'll perform somewhere
it's
else.
It's my whole act. Yeah. I don't know if
that's
I can.
Why I went with the fat guy thing.
I was
going to
finish what Michael Richards
thing.
Started, so I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, no, they gave us pretty hard and fast rules, and one time I think I said, damn it, or something, and when I got done, they absolutely pulled me to the side and said, hey, we don't.
For damn it?
Yeah, we don't really do that here.
And we dumped it too. We
it's very,
wow.
very interesting. Because like the people that you would see every week that were probably the first 10 or 15 on the list most times when I was there, they were just doing normal 10 to 15 minute sets where they were just, you know, they would be cussing. And then the open micers would get up there, and I could tell why, because you would occasionally have one that we get up there and they're basically just cussing.
Mm-hmm.
It's every other word, and that light goes on very quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, I had one lady in the crowd in San Antonio who enjoyed the set, enjoyed my 3 minutes.
Okay.
And that was about it. And I thought one time I had the, I was.
You mean as in there was only one person laughing?
I feel like that's the only
wow.
one I heard. I thought I did okay with the material that I had and the natural disaster joke series. You don't see a lot of that just rolling around when you go through reels. People really making jokes about natural disasters.
Because part of this bet payoff was that they write the material for you,
no,
correct?
No, I wrote it.
Oh, you had to write it?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, they just gave me the topic.
I don't know if the gag was they were going to give you the most uncomfortable jokes to say.
Yeah, no. No, I didn't want to do that.
Okay.
I don't know if I could do that. If you just read off
yes.
what...
Yes.
No,
you have no choice,
there's
but you
no
have to
no way
say
I could
it.
Do that. I hosted one time. And there was no joke telling at all. It was bringing up comedians.
Mm-hmm.
But they did ask me to stretch. And that's, I was pretty nervous. And there was a bachelorette party there that they were giving shots to.
Oh,
and they
no.
have a shot that's an act that they'll give to the ladies.
Not what?
The name of the shot
okay.
is an act that I can't say.
that ladies give to guys usually?
Yes, yes.
Okay, all right. Yes, I know that. Shot. I know that shot.
Right, right. So something happened with
an exhale occupation.
Yeah, and it started coming out of her nose, and I gotcha. Made a little quick wit about that that had the people laugh, and it was intoxicating.
Yeah.
Like, I almost thought to grab the mic and kind of start walking back
all
and forth.
All of a sudden, you got confidence to pace the stage.
I got the juice.
You're an apex predator all of a sudden.
Bring me a whiskey straight. I got some things to say as I go.
That's
got to
feel so magical, those stand-ups who have had a set where they just absolutely killed. It was great.
I will bet you it's intoxicating.
Yes.
You
such
can't
a high.
Get enough. Yeah, that adrenaline rush is like, man, I need to do like 30 more minutes.
Mm-hmm. Just getting a laugh on the stage is amazing.
It'll make you look up if you don't have the confidence. Oh. You hear someone, you'll go,
someone laughed at that.
Okay.
There
All
was
right.
one show that I did where I had a similar situation with a bachelorette party, and I'd been there for 2 hours waiting for my time to go up. And they were just having the best time, like laughing at even all the bad jokes. I'm like, this is going to be my greatest set ever, maybe. And they call my name, and as they call my name, I pass them walking out of the door to leave.
Oh, no.
The most silent 3 minutes of my entire, because there was now 4 people in there, and they were all comedians that had already been up, and they're not generally laughing at many of the comedians' jokes anyway.
Of course not.
So, I mean, I buzzed through like 4 jokes in about 2 minutes, and I was like, all right, that's it for me. I'll see you guys next week.
Maybe you just hear the one.
There was not, it was, and it was my friend.
Oh my God.
You know, my friend.
I worked at the Improv for 2 months. I was a doorman at the Improv in Dallas. I used to have one on Walnut Hill and Central. And I was the door guy who would show people to their seats and everything. And I got the honor of every once in a while, one of the door guys, well, every night, one of the door guys would be on pickup duty. You would have to go to the hotel and pick up the comedian.
Right, right.
If they were coming in from out of town, and you would take them to the venue, and then you would take them home at the end of the evening. And I got that a few times, which I thought was really cool, getting to ride my beaten down car with, and I actually carried a billionaire, a man who would become a billionaire, in my car and went out with him. He wanted to go to a strip club. I had to take him to a strip club.
Okay.
I hate when that happens.
He was very, very, I guess I can say who it is. I think I've told the story before. It was Byron Allen.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Man, I used to think he was so corny.
He what? I mean, he's very, very powerful
dude, his,
now.
But his media thing stretches out.
I think he owns. Does he own BET now? And like,
he owns a lot.
He owns
of
a lot of stuff. He has a media empire
all over the place because he was on Real People, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what I knew him from.
Right, right.
So he was famous. And,
oh, okay. Put up the signal.
Yeah,
man, this is awesome. I could talk comedy with you all day long. But next time, just say excuse me, and you'll get to your seat.
I made the right call.
No, you didn't.
I made the right call.
That's the wrong call, dude.
That's the way to do it.
Yep. Believe me, I'm hearing from a stand-up comedian right now that I made the right call. Travis even told me. He knows the etiquette of stand-up shows.
The most experienced stand-up comedian we have here.
The man who went 3 minutes one time without a laugh because the bachelor party left.
Bachelorette.
No.
All right, that's Gordon. We do it every single Tuesday at 9:55. Let's talk to Mavs next here on The Ticket.